From LeagueSafe World Headquarters, it's Fantasy Football Almost Daily. With Paul Charchia.
He's bare-chested and banging his chest.
Christian Peterson.
Waving his arms.
Matt Harrison.
Some goofball in a hat.
And Brian Jones.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Welcome to week number 13. It's Wednesday. That means it's time for the Panic Room. This is our fantasy football game show in which we challenge our two contestants. In this case, it's Christian Peterson holding the scepter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where's the crown?
What's with the crown?
I'm the king. I can do what I want, right?
No, Brian knows.
Yeah.
What's that? The king can't decide to not wear his own crown?
No, I mean, you're the
what
king.
What kind of a king is that?
What kind of king doesn't wear a crown?
I'm holding a scepter. I'm wearing a robe of sorts.
Shirt.
I'm liking my chances already.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
All right,
there needs to be at least a brief showing of the crown.
Okay.
And I don't know if the people at home can even tell there's a skull inside a bowling ball right here. I don't think that's really even crown worthy, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a good spot for it, though, when we're not using it.
Our challenger today is Brian Johnson.
Thanks for having me.
We're glad to have you.
You're
here.
Welcome.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. It's
I allowed him to challenge me.
Yeah. That's right. You are here at really the beck and call, the leisure of our.
I like to challenge myself every once in a while.
That's right. Every Wednesday.
Yes.
Specifically. Well, most Wednesdays.
Except last Wednesday. It was a holiday week.
Anyway, for those of you that are new to this, here's how it works. We're going to go through five players about which there is some degree of panic out there. And our two contestants will tell us whether or not the appropriate level of panic is none, some, or acute. As they do that, I will choose who wins each one of these based on how robust their explanation is. It's even less about whether or not they're right, but did they defend their case very well? So that's how it works. Whoever gets three out of the five, or potentially four or five out of the five, ends up being the winner. So there you go. That's the premise. Let's jump into the action. We begin with our first contestant, and that is Spencer Ware. It's not really the contestant, our first topic. Spencer Ware. Appropriate level of panic for Spencer Ware. Is it none, some, or acute on a player who's only had two rushing touchdowns all season despite being the leading running back for the Chiefs for really almost all of this year, sans a couple of games that he missed with concussion? We begin with our reigning king, Christian Peterson.
I'm going to go with some concern on Spencer Ware. He hasn't topped 69 rushing yards or scored since week 7. So we've got a pretty good sample size now where Spencer Ware has been struggling despite the fact that Jamaal Charles went on IR, which was everybody's main concern with Spencer Ware this season. So he really hasn't materialized into the fantasy asset that a lot of people we're hoping for. But the problem is the Chiefs' offense just isn't very good. I mean, last week they put up a bunch of points, but it was all, Tyreek Hill on gadget plays and return touchdowns. They rank, I think, 23rd in rushing offense and 27th in passing offense. They just aren't moving the ball very well. Last week there was some concern because Charcandrick West now is getting a little bit healthier. He took 33 snaps last week.
Right, and I think Ware only had a 40 or so.
He had 40, but he dominated the touches. Spencer Ware had 19 touches. West had only 3 when he was in the game. So that part of it doesn't worry me that much. And the schedule is about to turn pretty favorable for Spencer Ware. 3 of the final 4 opponents rank in the bottom 10 against opposing running backs. He's got Atlanta, Oakland, Tennessee, and Denver. Tennessee is really the only one you worry about there. Denver is actually bottom 10 against running backs this year. So yeah, certainly some level of concern just because it's a running back who plays in an offense that just isn't putting him in position to score very frequently. So I don't think he's not an elite level RB1 type of player, but I think the schedule is going to loosen up a little bit here and he's going to have some good games in the stretch run.
All right, challenger. Did he leave any meat on the bone for you? What are you saying? None, some, or acute?
I said some. That's what
you said.
That's
a 5.
Equals
I
some.
Think.
No, that is an S.
It's an S. Either way, upside down.
Does it work
it's
both
also
ways?
An S.
I think they do. Okay.
It's a palindrome.
Our budget on ink is not like run dry here. You can spell it out if you want.
Winter is coming, so you got to be careful.
We're going to preserve our whiteboard
ink
for the tough times ahead.
We might have to eat it. Yeah. Winter is coming, yes.
What was I saying?
Is there anything left to say?
Yes. Less than 50% of the snaps last week for Spencer Ware for the first time since week one, I believe. Week one was his best game of the season, by the way.
Yeah, back then, I thought he was going to be like an RB1 rest of the year.
It was looking that way.
I loved him back then.
Hasn't caught more than two passes since week one. Over the last 4 weeks, Charcandrick West has more targets, receptions, and yards than Spencer Ware. Was hoping he'd be more active in the passing game, but he's not. Mm-hmm. But over that same span, Ware has all the carries from inside the 10-yard line, so that role is secure for him. CP mentioned, I don't know, the Chiefs are bottom 10 in rushing this year, so it doesn't bode well for him, but the job is still his, especially in the money zone. So in a great matchup this week against Atlanta, then Oakland is a pretty good matchup. Tennessee is tough, and then Denver is not as daunting as they once were, but Ware didn't have a great game against Denver last week. So there is some level of concern for Spencer Ware, but he's still startable most weeks. I certainly will be starting him when it counts.
I'll be starting him this week in at least a couple of weeks. I invested early in Spencer Ware. Christian just didn't leave you a lot of meat on the bone, unfortunately. So
that was rude.
That was rude of you. Also, you get a star. First star.
That's right.
To our reigning king, Christian Peterson.
Thank you.
Our second player is LeGarrette Blount. After scoring relentlessly through the first, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 weeks of the season, things have slowed materially for him, and now he's got more competition in the backfield with Deion Lewis. What is the appropriate level of concern for LeGarrette Blount? Is it none, some, or acute? We let our challenger go first this time. What have you got?
I'm going none. Dropping my paper. There's
too
much
N.
crap in this game. None.
What with a whiteboard that you sometimes need to hold and a piece of paper?
Yeah.
That's too much for you.
And an eraser and a marker.
It's
paper. At least you don't have a scepter and a crown.
Yeah, then what? Yeah, exactly.
That's why I tank every week. But I'm going to try and win this one with
okay,
none. Blount has big games when he's at home and New England is favored. And he has three of those coming up in the next four. L.A. this week. He's going to go off this week against L.A., by the way. But then Baltimore, that's a tough matchup. But he's always got a chance
very
to score.
Tough matchup.
To get a goal line touchdown or two. And then the Jets is the other home game this week.
Also tough.
Tough matchup. He did average 6.5 yards per carry against them on Sunday. Only had 11 carries. So then he's on the road at Denver in week 15. But Denver's not as tough. But you don't like Blount as much on the road. But I like his matchups in three of the next four when he's at home and they're favored. And he's averaged over 6 yards per carry in his last two games. He'll get all the goal line looks in a prolific offense, so I got none on Blount.
All right. Even with the Baltimore home game, that doesn't worry you. And then Baltimore game's at home?
For the Patriots, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Number one run defense.
It is, but
I've got some concern on LeGarrette Blount. I do agree that he's better at home and in games that the Patriots are favored to win. Which is all of them. Yeah. Matt Harrison actually came up with this great stat about Deion Lewis, which is the reason why I have some concern on Blount. Blount has scored 4 touchdowns in the 8 games where both he and Lewis were active. And where Lewis played most of the game, didn't get injured early on.
Okay, going back to last year.
So there's 8 games like that, and Blount has scored in only
just
half
4
of them.
Okay.
Over the last 2 games since Lewis returned to action for the Patriots, Blount has had just 45% and 37% of the snaps. Last week it was Blount 37%, White 36%. And Lewis 32%.
Yeah,
so
almost dead even.
They added another body to the mix, and they are using Deion Lewis. I think he had 6 carries and 4 receptions last week, and so there just isn't enough meat left on the bone for LeGarrette Blount here. He was down to 11 touches last week. They are obviously using Deion Lewis, and they're still using James White in the way that they used to use him. So, the goal line work is still his. They do have that one tough matchup against Baltimore remaining, so I think there just has to be some level of concern, because instead of these 120-yard, 1 or 2 touchdown games, I think now your upside is, 65, 70 yards and a touchdown. So I think he's lost the touches to Deion Lewis, and that's what I'm concerned about.
When I heard his none explanation, I was actually kind of on board, but now you've swayed me with all the carry information, because Deion Lewis is just taking too much away.
From James White.
But really,
well, but
for
from
both,
because he's
carries count. I mean, James White's a no carry guy, right? If you're going to get 6 carries to Deion Lewis, that's materially, if he's averaging, 4 or 5 or like 6 yards per carry like he did last week, that materially changes his prospects of success. They know that's erasing 20, 30 yards off of his box score. I don't know. I have some level of concern now. Start of the King. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back in a moment, and we'll talk about Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald has not scored a touchdown since week 5. I hadn't realized it had been that long.
It's a long drought.
That is a long drought
for a player of his caliber. Yeah.
And he's the best receiver. He's the most reliable receiver the Cardinals have. Targets have been a little up and down as well. And Carson Palmer, frankly, just not playing as well as we'd like to see him play. Palmer's overall fantasy production way down this year. So, the appropriate level of concern for Larry Fitzgerald, is it none, some, or acute? We go back to our champion, Christian.
I'm going to keep rolling with what's working for me, with some. Okay. on Larry Fitzgerald. You know, the target totals have fallen for him. I'm not super concerned about that because I went back and looked, and he's led the team in targets in 8 of their 11 games this year. So he is certainly being targeted more than any of the other receivers. The problem is we're seeing essentially what we saw last year down the stretch, where the circumstances are a little different, which I'll explain, but Michael Floyd and John Brown and Larry Fitzgerald last year down the stretch, it was almost impossible to tell which one was going to emerge in any given week because they were all getting 7, 8, or 9 targets, and Carson Palmer was spreading the ball around. This year, Floyd is really struggling, and so is John Brown. Brown's right, been John's injured, but they have J.J. Nelson there. Mm-hmm. Palmer's throwing to his tight end a decent amount, and so much activity is flowing through David Johnson at running back that I think the opportunities just aren't there when you have 4 or 5 other options in the mix. That Fitzgerald just isn't the guy who had 18 targets in week 10 and was routinely in the double digit targets earlier in the season. Palmer has found ways to spread the ball around, even despite the fact that the other players involved are not as good this year as they were last year. So, Fitz just isn't the top 5 fantasy wide receiver that he was through the first 3 or 4 games of this year. And I don't think anybody thought that he would maintain that pace throughout the year. Nobody thought he would go 6 straight games without a touchdown either. So that's gonna straighten itself out. He is still getting the 7 or 8 targets, and he is still a factor in the red zone. So that's the reason I don't have all out panic, just some.
Okay.
I do.
All out panic. Acute level of panic.
Wow.
So you on paper, Fitz looks pretty good, right? He's tied for first in targets from inside the 10-yard line with 10, but he only has 2 over his last 5 games. Has the most targets from inside the 5-yard line with 8, but only 2 of those have come over the last 8 games. So all his success has been in the past,
right?
Long ago in the past.
So when you talk season-long numbers, he's really inflated those through the first month of the season.
Yeah, he had a huge first month.
And he's had 2 big games over his last 9 games. They both have come against San Francisco. No more games against San Francisco for Larry Fitzgerald this year. And he has a pretty good schedule.
You're ruling out the playoffs.
Yeah, I am.
The NFC Championship game.
Will Chip Kelly still get fired if they make the playoffs? predicted?
They've been, I'm sticking with that prediction, and the Niners have been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
So it's a pretty good schedule from a slot receiver's perspective. Washington at Miami, New Orleans at Seattle. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, Carson Palmer looks really bad, and that O-line is injured and bad as well. And I have an acute level of panic because Larry Fitzgerald is going to be a wide receiver 2 at best for the rest of the season when he should be a wide receiver 1, but you're just not going to get that from him.
Recency over primacy. Star of the challenger. Next up, Amari Cooper has topped 57 yards only once since week 7. Holy cow. That's not good for Amari Cooper. Targets all over the place. Very hard to guess when the big game's coming for Amari Cooper as well, which is another ongoing problem for him. Is this going to be a Crabtree game or, are they going to throw into the running backs? And actually, Carr has been big game.
Oops.
Modest game, kind of bad game. I mean, they're all good games. He's an MVP candidate, but just from a fantasy standpoint only, the touchdown numbers and the yardage numbers aren't always that good for Carr, and Cooper's hurt from that. Anyway, and I'm taking your talking points now. Amari Cooper, appropriate level of panic, none, some, or acute. I think we're back to challenger first.
Going for 2 in a row here.
I'm going to go with some.
A
lot of that revolves around Derek Carr's finger, like you said. And his matchup this week against Buffalo, only one wide receiver has hit 100 yards since week three against the Bills, and most of the touchdowns they've allowed have gone to secondary options. But after that, it's San Diego, Kansas City, Indy. In week five against San Diego, Cooper had six catches, 138 yards and a touchdown. Week six against Kansas City, he had 10 catches for 129 yards. And then Indy, there have been four straight good games by opposing number ones. Jeremy Maclin even scored against them. Jordy Nelson had a big game. Richard Matthews, Antonio Brown, we all saw on Thanksgiving. So beyond Buffalo, I really like Cooper's schedule. So I'll just say some based on Kara's finger and the bad matchup this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you doing over there?
I'm just changing my answer that I haven't revealed yet.
You can't change your answer now.
What do you mean?
Boo.
Why not?
The point is, when we throw this out, you have to lock in your answer. You know, it's like on Match Game, for example, when they go, you know, they go three across and they go the three at the bottom, right? The three contestants. You know, they play the music for a little while. Dun, 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 dun. Don't tap it, and then everybody locks in their answer.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Well,
I mean,
all right.
Charles Nelson Riley can't change it when Brett Summers gives a, you know, some answer, and he goes, "Well, I better change mine."
I don't even know who any of these people are.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
When it comes down to it,
Match Game is arguably the best game show in the history of game shows.
Okay,
it's pretty brilliant. It's a little bit bawdy, and there's actually a lot of smarts that go into that, and some of the celebrity contestants were actually really, really good. Richard Dawson, who went on to be the Family Feud host for, you know, like a decade, was brilliant at it. He was so good, it was uncanny. Meanwhile, Brett Summers, who was in position number two, total dingbat. She was an idiot, and she quietly drove Charles Nelson Riley to near suicide. He's just silently fuming next to her the whole time. Oh, it's great drama. Match Game. And right. They still show the repeats on the Game Show Channel.
Well, maybe I'll have to tune in.
I think you should.
All right. So technically all that I did is changed two letters. Two of the letters were completely unchanged. The O and the E I didn't touch.
Okay.
So I switched to none at the last second. In part because of the things that Brian said. I mean, the schedule is very good. The Bills game this week, I'll grant you, is a tough one. But then he outlined the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Colts about why those are, you know, not just good but great matchups for Amari Cooper. And, you know, sure, he's struggled a little bit recently, but there's no shame in being held in check by Denver, who he had six catches for 56 yards against, and Houston, four catches for 57 yards in the last couple of weeks. Both of those teams are in the top three in the NFL against opposing wide receivers. Even if you go back a few weeks before that against Jacksonville, he had only four catches against them. Well, they're top six against opposing wide receivers. They have an emerging secondary. So I think his struggles over the past month or so are really overblown, and it all boils down to the schedule. When the Raiders play a good defensive team, they don't put up as many points. When they don't, they go crazy like Cooper did just a few weeks ago against Tampa when he had 170 yards and a touchdown. So I think there are some very explosive games coming down the stretch, so I have no level of concern.
Okay. You already know where I'm going with this. Even though you made fine points, I don't think it's fair to change your answer midstream.
Well, I mean, technically, fair. I hadn't erased my old answer yet.
Oh, so that's what you were doing.
It was I forgot.
You're just very
really,
slow
I just
to
forgot.
Change. You're very slow to change.
Yeah.
Start of the challenger. We now go to the rubber match, if you will. This is our fifth and final guy in a 2-2 game. Antonio Gates was silent last week. Wait, if I preface it, I can do this in Match Game format if I think about it just right. Antonio Gates was so quiet last week, and then you would come back with,
how quiet was he?
Yes, that's exactly it. And you claim to not have ever seen Match Game. That was
I guess
their
some,
bit on Match
yeah,
Game.
Yeah, some part of that stuck in deep mind. In my brain.
There you go. Antonio Gates, no targets last week. Hunter Henry, emerging talent. Things have been quiet lately for Gates. What's your level of concern? Is it none, some, or acute on Antonio Gates? Back to our reigning champion. And boy, this is where being champion really helps out. Mm-hmm. It's the fifth of five guys. You need to get this right. You have the advantage of going first and doing your talking points first. It's a huge advantage. Will you actually execute on the advantage? Let's find out.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to let me think.
Calm yourself.
Okay. Okay. I'm locked in. Are you locked in?
I got my letter.
Okay. Right. He's locked in. I'm locked in.
All right,
just, I just want procedurally, I want to make sure that nothing is going to go awry here. I'm going to go with none. And technically, I did. You could go back and watch on video. I did erase the old nun
and
put
a new
nun
in.
Just again, procedurally, I don't want to screw this up.
Thank God.
You're wasting ink.
I am wasting ink. There is that.
We've already established we're going to have to eat the ink at some point.
Yeah. Okay. So Antonio Gates, no targets last week. That was just a fluke. In the previous 4 weeks, he had target totals of 10, 9, 9, and 9.
Yeah.
He was being targeted frequently. Hunter Henry was back. He scored a touchdown last week. Well, he had three targets. He caught two of them for 20 yards. In the last four games, Hunter Henry has no more than two catches and no more than 20 yards.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, those are for touchdowns, which hurts Antonio Gates. But last week was just a fluke. You don't go from nine targets to zero and then just suddenly sit at zero or one for the rest of the season. Antonio Gates is a crucial part of this offense, and the schedule is going to get very good here over the stretch run. Tampa, Carolina, Oakland, Cleveland, all of those teams rank in the bottom half against tight ends. Three are in the bottom 10. Cleveland and Carolina are numbers two and three in terms of the worst teams against tight ends. So really the schedule can't possibly be any better. The wide receivers are dinged up. Tyrell Williams got banged up last game. Travis Benjamin still isn't healthy. So this offense is still going to go a lot through Antonio Gates. No level of concern.
Okay.
I didn't think I'd have much to add because I have no concern as well. But he didn't mention the tight end record, touchdown record.
Oh, there's that.
Only two behind Tony Gonzalez.
Yep, the all-time
Phillip
record.
Rivers is going to get his three to get him there.
Yep.
So that's going to be three touchdowns in the final four games, which CP said is a great schedule. Tampa Bay has only allowed three tight end touchdowns, but they've allowed the seventh most yards. And then Carolina, Oakland, and Cleveland have combined to allow 21 tight end touchdowns.
Jeez.
So Rivers is going to get Gates that record. So you're all but guaranteed three touchdowns moving forward from Antonio Gates. And no tight ends are scoring touchdowns this year, so I have no level of concern.
Your points are all fine. You just, unfortunately, you went second. I think this is the star goes to the champion. I think had you gone first, you would end up being the winner for this one. But as it stands,
it's like home field advantage.
It is. It's home field advantage is exactly what it is. It's home throne advantage, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Home castle advantage?
I like home throne advantage.
Home throne advantage?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that. Home throne advantage.
Although when you go to somebody else's territory or kingdom, it's not like you both have a throne. It's not like you're then on the visiting throne.
That's a good
when
point.
You go there.
No,
you don't have a throne at all.
You have no throne.
But that's just a technicality.
No. thank you for watching. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at BTXJ, B Boy T Tom X Ray J, well, Johnson. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
At Coolerheads 29. I'm at Paul Charchian. What else?
The
podcast.
I think that's
how about the Saturday podcast? For those of you that don't know, and I think there are a handful of you that don't, our big Saturday podcast and radio show at KFAN.com. You can download through iTunes, and I don't know where else it goes, to be honest.
iHeartRadio.
Fantasy Football Weekly. It's called Fantasy Football Weekly. Yeah, we have our own channel on iHeartRadio, so you can use the iHeartRadio app, and you can listen to our big Saturday show. That's quite the production. Two hours of everything you need to get ready for Sunday.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Congratulations, King.
Thank you.
Fine effort, Challenger.
Thanks.
Yeah, I can tell you're a little
Do I get to keep my head, at least? Will not be beheaded because of this? Or?
People will have to find out next week. Find out if you're here.
Well, I won't be.
We'll talk to you then.